Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I'm joined by Donovan Smith. Donovan is a Southern Indiana kid, high school wrestler, amateur MMA fighter, 28 years old, 6-1 in his amateur record thus far, and he's getting ready to make his pro debut August 1st for HRMMA. Very fun conversation with Donovan today. He's got a lot to him. Really enjoy Donovan coming on. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please send some referrals the way of my health insurance practice. My ideal referral is if you got a grandparent or a parent who's 65 years old, or they will be 65 years old soon. That means they're on Medicare. I'm a Medicare broker. That means I can help them find the best Medicare Advantage plan or Medicare supplement. It's very important that they have a broker who represents Humana, Anthem, United Healthcare, all the carriers, and they don't just fall into going with someone randomly. If you want to support the Kelly Patrick Show, please send me some Medicare referrals. Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois, or Florida. I want to thank Louisville Combat Academy, 7908 Beulah Church Road. AJ Jenkins, Holly Jenkins run a great gym. They have a very strong 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu program, kids program, women's program, Louisville MMA led by Jason Y, kickboxing program. I attend a kickboxing class there every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Come on out to Louisville Combat Academy. I want to thank Jorge Basada for help with the video, the YouTube channel. If you're listening, please subscribe to the Kelly Patrick Show YouTube channel. And of course, my longtime producer, Matt McCarthy. Thanks so much for tuning in. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by first-time guest, Donovan Smith. Donovan, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate you coming on. We were getting into a little bit of small talk before we started recording, and I mentioned that I trained at House of Warrior Boxing Gym last night.
Right.
Over off Fern Valley, which is Coach Abdullah's gym. Right now, they really do just boxing.
Boxing,
just boxing. And you mentioned that you knew Abdullah.
Yeah. I met him when I was a kid. Team Chaos and Jeff, Jeremy Voyle's team, mm-hmm. where I started out as a kid, met Abdullah there. He was always a killer, man.
Oh, yeah, he's a beast. He's got throws. Dude. He's a jiu-jitsu purple belt.
Yeah.
Obviously a real good boxer.
Yeah.
But he was raised wrestling and shit, and he's got real cool karate kicks and shit.
Good kicks, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the toughest guy I know. I mean, I remember he got, when I was younger, he fought once. But I remember he had something with his pelvis where...
He fought an MMA fight.
Yes.
Against Brian Kerr.
Yes.
Big, tall guy.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember there was something with his pelvis. I don't know if it was from the fight or around that area where... a ligament pulled some of the bone off.
Okay.
And he was still with it, man, still training. Yeah, Abdullah's a good guy, man. I really, really glad to hear that he's still in it, you know.
Oh, he certainly is. House of Warriors got a lot of numbers, real strong kids program.
Yes. Yes, his son, Amir.
Oh, Amir's a beast. You know, Abdullah's like 5'7", 5'8", but his son, Amir's like 6'1".
Dude.
He's like heavyweight boxer.
And I remember when he was just a kid, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, and I mean, he was just always there. He just, you know, had no choice but to.
And then all of a sudden, he's huge, and he's got the quickness, and he's got the coordination, and he's got the reps and all that stuff.
Got the power.
Yes. Donovan, being this is the first time I've had you on, could you introduce yourself to the Kelly Patrick Show audience? Who's Donovan Smith? Where are you from? What sports did you play growing up?
Gotcha. Yeah, so, I grew up in Jeffersonville. Started out playing football, like Little League or whatever. Didn't really get into football too much. You know, when I was getting headaches, coming home every day, I'm like, had to look for something else. So I played a lot, or I wrestled a lot in middle school, high school. Started kind of late, so I really had to make up a lot of time. You know, it was like... In my high school years, it was a lot of, like, off-season. Because, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really listen to coaches and didn't do anything. But I would lose and cry about it, you know what I mean? So they're like, dude, you got to. So I just really hit it, try to, you know, give a state run my high school year. Got a good semi-state 2 years.
In Indiana?
Yep.
Damn.
Two years.
That's not a bad state to do that in.
Dude, it's stacked.
Yeah.
I first year, junior year, I went to the ticket round, lost that round, and then saw the same kid, the senior, and I thought I had him, you know what I mean? I just beat him last year. He had made improvements and beat me the first round, and, you know, I was out. But, hey, you know.
Yeah, no shame in that.
No, not at all.
What high school?
Jeffersonville.
Okay. Yep. What year did you graduate?
2016.
Okay. So how old are you?
28.
Okay. Yep. Very cool. So you got into wrestling when you were in like middle school.
Yep.
Started taking it more serious in high school.
Yes.
It made somewhat of a, you know, didn't win state or anything.
No.
But you tried to make a run.
Try to make a run for it.
How many years did you wrestle in high school?
I wrestled all four. I want to say all together, because you know how you start in like fifth grade, but it's not really, you know what I mean? Like they come to the school. So I want to say the three years of middle school and then the 4 years. So probably all together, 8-9 years wrestling on and off, you know what I mean? And then after that, so I had a chance to go to college, but was kind of looking for something else. Like I had a couple offers. I know Lindsey Wilson coach, I talked to him, and a couple different coaches.
What was your weight class?
52.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of stayed around the same, fight 55, wrestled 52. But yeah, went to the Marines.
Oh, shit, okay.
I did four years, Camp Pendleton. Trained, like, I count some of that time as training. Like, I trained off and on. Not like I could train a lot, you know what I mean? The job came first, but went out there for a while, still trained, did a little jiu-jitsu, got out of there, came back, and just started training. Hooked back up with Brent Maddox and the guys over at Jeff City Boxing, yep. Linked up with them, with Dontell and all of them, and try to make a going on a run for it.
What did your 4 years in the Marines, what type of experience was that? Even outside of sporting or combat sports or anything like that, what can you tell me about your 4 years in the Marine? You said Camp Pendleton.
Camp Pendleton.
Where's that at?
California, San Diego.
Okay.
It was eye-opening. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for it because it kind of knocked the stupid out of me, you know, set me on a path straight. I just realized it wasn't for me, you know what I mean?
You didn't want to be a career military serviceman?
No, didn't want to make it a career, and I really didn't know what it was before I got into it. And so once I realized what it was, I was like, I don't really, you know, want that. And so but it was fun though. It was a lot of fun. It was like I had unlimited money, you know, Uncle Sam's pockets.
Sure, yeah.
So I mean, it was like living in San Diego was insane. Because, but if I tried to live there now, it's, you know, all paying out of my pocket, you know. So
oh, shit, yeah, if you don't have the
came home, the yeah, income. I had to get out of there, but
cost of living's high there if you have high. To pay rent.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If you have to.
Pay rent, and then, you know, of course, when you find a job, it's relative out there. You know, you'll be paying, because, like, let's say a one-bedroom in California was, I want to say, like, 21, 22 starting out, and that's far from the beach. So if you got that same little studio by the beach, it's like $3,000-$3,500, you know. So, but the jobs are relative. So you'll make it, but it's like you're not really
getting ahead.
No, not at all. So I mean, it was awesome though. I loved it. You know, the Marines is great. They taught me taught me everything. I loved it, dude. The camaraderie was awesome. The brotherhood was awesome. I mean, dude, I miss just like. If I didn't have detergent, I could just walk 10 feet. Hey, man, you got this? He's got it. Okay. Hey, man, you got this? You know what I mean? The Marines was different type of people. You know what I'm saying? They always say, trust the Marine with your life and not your wife. You know what I mean? But it was an awesome experience, and I do recommend it to most men. You know what I mean? Because it does knock the stupid out of you, kind of sets you on a, you know, you see the world.
I train a little bit of jiu-jitsu at Gracie Jiu-Jitsu at Kentucky, and I've been training about 10 years now. So I started in 2016 when you graduated from high school.
Nice.
But since I've been training jiu-jitsu, one of the things I've noticed, and I've said this to people before, is of the people I see coming and going, you know, new people come and a lot of them don't stick around.
Right.
But if you're a wrestler or if you're a Marine, you're not going to quit because it was too hard.
Right, right.
You might quit because you have to move or something like that.
Right.
But you're not going to see someone bitch out if they're either of those two things.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's like they can't. You know what I mean?
So you got double the anti-bitch.
Double whammy. Yeah. Double whammy, man. Yeah. Yeah, man. It was awesome. And we wrestle a lot and stuff in there. And they have combatives. But the combatives in the Marines is like jiu-jitsu, you know, when it first came to the States. Like, it's very, like, some of the stuff, you know, what they're doing in there, it works, but you really got to go and pursue your own, because they do have, like, guys who do train jiu-jitsu that, you know, teach combatives in the Marines, and so they incorporate a lot of that in there. So it's really realistic, and it's a good way to learn. I know
it's a little bit more realistic for like combat, right. Whereas if you go to a jiu-jitsu room here, it might help you in a local jiu-jitsu tournament. Right. In the combat, right. The combatives are maybe
different, right? Yeah, they're
you
like
put
more,
your hands in the armpits when you're passing guard,
right?
Is that right?
Yeah, and they're just more like get away things, get to a weapon type thing, you know, which makes sense.
Yeah, if you're like, fighting for your life.
Right,
a little
right.
bit different than if you're screwing around with your buddies.
Right, right. You come around the corner in Afghanistan, you don't want to grapple. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
kind of that
you mindset. Certainly don't want to be on the bottom.
No, definitely not. So yeah, kind of like that. But like I said, a lot of guys bring out to outside because they have belt system in the Marines. So you belt up and, you know, you get ranked from belts.
Were you ranked?
I only got the belt one above. Like, so you get one in boot camp, and then I got the one right above that. I can't remember what, I think it was gray because it's a little different, but black is their last one. But I think I didn't really pursue it because I was, you know, too busy, you know, whatever else. Because at a certain point in there, I kind of realized I wasn't going to, you know, make it a career. So I started transitioning, if that makes sense, because a lot of guys, when they know they're going to make it a career, they'll pursue the belts, they'll get, you know what I mean,
trying to build their resume, right. For getting promotions within the Marine Corps,
right, because you got to show them all that, and you know they like to see that. So
instead you were focusing on what?
Fighting. But I hadn't told nobody yet, you know what I mean?
You were focusing on fighting while you were in California
towards the end, like towards the last. I had found a Gracie gym out there that I had wrestled with a little I had went to. And it was nice. It wasn't an MMA gym. They did gi.
That's right.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's,
they were really, really good. I think about this all the time because there was a guy out there who was competing, and he was really good. You know what I mean? I can't remember his name. He said he fought chill dudes. He, you know, acted like a fighter. There was a Bellator guy out there too. I couldn't remember their names, but, dude, it was, you know, started training there, and then once I realized I was going to be leaving, started doing the transition. Got in my car once they said I was good, drove all the way home.
So is that around like 2020?
Yes, got out 2020.
Okay, that's COVID time. That's
COVID
wild.
COVID time, man.
Okay.
It was wild.
Yeah, that's an interesting time. So you come back from California.
Yep.
Right at the beginning of COVID.
Yep.
And you knew that you were kind of on a journey to be an MMA fighter.
Yes. Yeah, I knew I kind of was going to do that, you know, go in that direction. I didn't really know exactly how yet, but I just knew I was.
Okay. So you had a little bit of maybe a pension?
Yes, I had about...
A little personal question.
No,
but I'm curious because that kind of can give you a little cushion, right, for a training camp.
It definitely did. And so, yeah, I had like enough for like, I'd say 6 months.
Okay.
So I really kind of focused on it. And I knew I had to get a job. I got a job way before the 6 month mark. It was like 2 months, and then I was like, all right. But I, about 6 months, and just trained, dude. Actually, before I linked up with Brent Maddox, I was out there with guys at Two Brothers Muay Thai.
Okay.
Shout out to them, dude. They're awesome. Guys can kick, man. So,
oh yeah,
went out there with them for a little while.
That was probably a little bit of a different look, it sounds like. If you had done the wrestling and then some jiu-jitsu and just kind of combat stuff, but then straight actual competitive kickboxing,
man.
Yeah,
and I can see, and that's, and now that I look back and you say that, you can kind of see like I was a wrestler, but I knew I had a deficiency with the stand-up, so I was like, you know what I'm saying, where can I go besides Thailand, you know what I mean, to learn that's low because, you know, I'm broke, whatever. So where's close? Two Brothers. So I go, Two Brothers, man, they accept me in. Great guys over there, Derek. And
they halfway kick the shit out of your legs.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. put it on me. And I actually did a fight with them, a kickboxing fight.
Okay.
In Indianapolis.
How'd that go?
I got stopped by punches.
Okay.
But it showed me a lot.
What weight was that at? Do you remember?
55.
Okay, so you've been right about there.
Right about there. And, I mean, he was tough, man. It was my first fight. I mean, I came right at him, you know what I mean? Really was, you know, first round, I won, thought I was doing good, and just gassed. Once I gassed, dude.
Different type of conditioning,
oh,
right?
Man. Oh,
how was your conditioning overall at that time, like wrestling conditioning?
It was good. It was good.
It was good for wrestling.
Right. And it was good for the gym. And we'd have, you know, spar days and like, well, I didn't have to sit out or quit. I could keep up with the pro guys and the amateur guys. But it just showed me like there's levels. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
I went in there and
but that's what you did it for.
Right.
Was to expose yourself, fish out of water type thing. You knew you weren't going to try to make a run at being the best kickboxer in the world.
And I knew there was a chance that I could really get tuned up, but I was like, I think I can handle it. I think I'll learn more than I'll get. You know what I mean? Sure. And I did. But definitely learned that now. I mean, now the cardio is every day. Like, I don't ever stop cardio just because I don't ever want to feel that feeling again.
What type of cardio do you do?
Besides training cardio, I do a lot of the elliptical, like a lot miles on the elliptical just because it's low on the hips impact and knees. And stuff. Yep, low impact. We'll do sprints, a lot of sprints, a lot of sprints, wind sprints, 30 seconds on, 10 seconds off, that kind of deal, stuff like that. A lot of grappling, a lot of sparring, we'll switch it up, as fights get closer, we kind of tone down the sparring a little bit, it'll become more technical, more volume, as the beginning of the camp, it's a little bit heavier, but, okay. I mean, my team is perfect, there's, because I got a category for, I can, whatever, my training is set up differently with everyone on the team.
Who can you tell me about in your team?
Like Quentin Shirley.
Okay. Love watching that guy fight.
Oh, dude, he's a beast. He's one of the guys that I know that I can go a little bit rougher with.
And I'd say so.
And he doesn't.
He seems like the epitome of somebody you can go as rough as you want with him.
Dude, man, you know what I mean? So we work together perfectly. Sean Downey, he's a wrestler.
Okay.
Good ground guy. He'll be coming. He's coming up soon. He'll be fighting soon.
Nice.
I mean, just a real rounded team. We had Dontell there when he comes back from in town. So Mike Ricketts, Ivan Rodriguez. It's a good team. Man.
Solid room.
Guys have wrestling experience. About 50 years wrestling experience between you know what I mean, the coaching staff. So it's a big deal, man. I love these guys, man. They're with me. They're every day. We're in there. We're training hard. It's the best. I love it, man.
Can you walk me through your amateur career? What's your record right now?
Amateur career right now was 6-1.
Can you, for the sake of the episode, walk me through each of your fights? Give me a brief summary of each one of those fights.
Got you.
What happened?
All right. So first one, Austin. Guy's last name, but I think his first name was Austin. 155, first fight, man. I was the first fight that night, actually, too. So that was pretty awesome. I wish I could be the first fight every time I fight, but
what promotion was this?
Made Men.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So went in there, first fight. Kind of knew didn't know what to expect. Knew that I was just going to take it to him. Knew that my hands probably were better than his, and that they keep me out of trouble for the most part, and so that's what I used. Went right at him. We got into a grappling exchange. He took my back a couple times, and you'll see that as a kind of a pattern. Guys will take my back. Ended up getting a TKO on him. Got a top reverse crucifix. Where he's face down, had the arm trapped, the other arm.
Damn. And was just not pleasant for him.
Not pleasant. He couldn't do anything.
Fight's over.
Ref stopped it. That was awesome. First fight. Second fight was at the African American Heritage Center. I believe it was, what's his name?
Tyler Kirkpatrick.
Kirkpatrick, yes. Yep. So that was we knew he was going to come out. We knew he was going to go straight at us. I didn't realize he was going to go for the takedown, at first. So, but he came out, and I don't know when you watch the fight, he rushes across and dips across, because I remember he headbutted me on accident. I don't think he meant to. He just headbutted me because I got back to the corner and I was like, yo, what did he hit me with? You know what I'm saying? Because the headbutt, like literally, I'm looking at him, then I'm looking at the side of the cage. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't remember getting hit with a hand or anything, so I was kind of confused. But that
make
really
you a little bit like woozy?
Not woozy, just like it was all of a sudden like I was time traveling. All of a sudden I'm here and I'm like, oh,
what just happened?
What happened? And he was on me. So then he gets me on against the cage, and that really turned me on, like turned me up, man. So I
pissed you off.
Got him, got an underhook, threw him over, landed hammer fist, man. Tried to knock him out. I thought I knocked him out, but I think I hit him one too many times, and it woke him up. Okay. So as I watched the fight, I'm like, I should have just stopped there because he was going out. But yeah, man, he told me after the fight, he said one of them hammer fists he could never, catch back up. And I could kind of tell throughout the fight because he just kind of was following my lead. He had gotten a single leg and got against the cage and stood up with it, and I pushed him down to my ankle, and he kind of fell on the inside. So I'm like on the inside, and his arm's around my ankle or my leg, and so I just went under and trapped the arm that he already had it under and just wrapped the other hook, arm in, rear naked. It was awesome, man.
Oh, okay.
It just kind of happened to fall like that, got it. That was awesome.
That is interesting. You see interesting stuff happen in MMA.
Yes, yeah.
Because there's so many variables going on. Like maybe you wouldn't see that very commonly in a jiu-jitsu room.
Right, right.
But because people were throwing punches and all sorts of shit going on.
It's so different. Yeah. Yeah, like you get in positions that you kind of have to because of the strikes, you know?
You see people like land something that you're like, what the hell? He doesn't even do that.
Right, right. Type thing. And I find myself doing that too in fights where like, you know, this is everyone probably, but mitts and sparring and all that stuff is really tight, but in a fight, man, it's almost like it starts getting wily, you know,
a little bit,
and I'll see myself doing that, and I'm like, man, and I'll feel myself in my brain, like I'm like, gosh, this is kind of wild, you know.
You don't feel as crisp as when you're doing the stuff with your coach,
right? Right, and it's something about the energy in the fight that does that, and it's all about that battle of keeping trying to hone that. And
you got a lot to work. Your brain's got a lot of stuff to account for. Man. Like, am I getting taken down? Is he throwing a knee?
Right.
Is that a kick? Is that a jab?
Man.
There's a lot going on.
It's so crazy. So third fight, Vernell.
No, this one says Sergio.
Sergio. So yeah, Sergio, that fight, 4th Street, I knew that I wanted to win the fight, and I knew that I wanted to control him. And the game plan was to control him, beat him up on the ground. Really, all rounds, I controlled him. You know what I mean? I didn't want to stand up with him. I just wanted to put him away. Had his back early on, first round, but we ended up going a distance with that one. Not really my favorite fight, you know, because
you didn't get a finish.
Right. I didn't get a finish, and I kind of felt like I sandbagged it.
Oh, you sandbagged it. Because you just did the thing that you're most comfortable with.
Right, wrestling, because I felt like...
Is that something you don't want to do? You don't want to win a boring fight?
No. I felt so bad. I felt worse than losing.
On paper, though, that's a pretty good win.
Yeah, it's a good win. I like
Based on his resume and everything, what he's doing now.
And it was a good... In the moment, I knew what I had to do to get the job done. But looking back, it's like, man, I remember talking with the coaches, and I'm like... I'm never going to let that happen again. You know what I'm saying? I do not like decisions. I don't like getting out the cage. People were looking at me crazy. You know what I'm saying? Dude, you're like, dude, that sucked. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's just talk or whatever. But it just goes to show that nobody wants to see that. And I'm capable of not letting that happen, so I won't.
If you're winning the wrestling game, you could be able to do maybe the crucifix type thing.
Right.
Get a TKO.
Right, right. Always looking for the finish. So I think the Sergio fight was very, 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 very important. It taught me to always look for the finish. You know what I mean? Now, no matter if you're tired, no matter, don't conserve energy. Because when you conserve energy, the best case scenario is a decision. You know what I mean? You don't want to conserve energy. You want to go all out. And I think that's what really helped me. That Sergio fight was pivotal because the next fight was Vernell.
Correct.
And that was a whirlwind right there too.
It says upkick. I didn't see this one.
Yeah,
it says upkick.
Upkick. Yep. He had me. So he had third down. He had taken me down, and he was standing over me, and I felt like I heard his coaches saying, "Go down on him. Go down on him." And when he had taken me down, I had one butterfly and one leg was loose. So I was trying to triangle, but my other leg was stuck with butterfly, so I couldn't bring it up to triangle it, and they kept saying go down. So I'm trying to, and he felt, when he went down, I knew he felt me pull the triangle, which made him shoot back up because he felt the triangle. He felt me pulling down,
kind of postured up.
Yep. And when he postured, he was standing up too because he went on his knees. So when he postured up, he kind of went back too far, and I just followed him back. Like as he went back up, I just followed him back with the kicks. And so he stood up, and then bam.
From your back, you kicked him to the face.
Man, and I didn't even think it was going to work. I remember hitting him and just being like, I don't know if it's going to work. It's just something to get up. And I remember all the pressure. Like, it felt like I was pushing a boulder. You know, a fight. You're fighting another man. The whole time I'm pushing the boulder. As soon as the kick landed, it was like pillows. Like, all his pressure.
You could tell it. Fight
his
was
energy,
over.
Everything. He just gave up.
Damn.
It was awesome, dude. I got up. And I do remember, and this is why I always say, if there's not a ref, the extra hits, and people are like, man, you don't have to do that.
That was the ref's fault every time.
Man, I get it now, because I'm like, dude, I wanted to hurt him bad. You know what I mean? When I upkicked him and he fell down, he was holding his face, he had beat me up, kind of took my back, almost choked me out. Like, I was mad. Dude, I wanted to get more. Like, I remember.
So you
just
kicked him, he went down, you jumped up, and went for the ground and pound.
I went one shot, and I remember I landed one, and then I was going, like, I was so excited, dude. I remember being so excited because I was like, I'm about to really show him. You know what I mean? And then as soon as I was about to, the ref. And it is kind of not annoying, but it's kind of relieving and kind of like, man, at the same time. Because at the same time, I'm like, man, I wanted to hit him. But then again, it's like, oh,
it's over.
I won. It's over. Nice. So it's kind of like a weird love-hate thing. But, I mean, man, that fight, I think that was pivotal, too, because that showed me never to give up. Which, you know, I never, you know, don't have that in me. But, man, that I could have gave up a lot of times in that fight.
Scale 1 to 10. So a win, the Sergio win versus the Vernell win. How do you rate them for your personal satisfaction?
Oh, man, 10 on the Vernell. And then probably, I'd say a 4 on the Sergio, because I did still do things that were, you know, good. Did still the takedowns. I just didn't like the way I kind of, you know, just holding them. You know what I mean?
Were your coaches happy with your performance in the Sergio fight?
Yes, but it was communicated very clearly to me that's, you know, Bronx Hill MMA, we go for finishes. You know, it's either someone's leaving out of there on a, you know what I mean? Like, we don't try to.
So the feeling was mutual. Your camp wants you to get finishes. You want finishes.
Yeah, they were like, you know, there's, because we're going to the, you know, and you don't want to have a bunch of decisions.
Doing this to get paid.
Right. So it was, but it's like I said, it was pivotal. It's all learning. That's why I'm really glad they have the amateur circuit. I mean, you learn, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Kind of like you were saying with how loose things can get in there, yeah, even for crisp fighters.
Man.
It's like the people who have the more repetition, amateur career maybe,
right,
of doing it, they get to have kind of calmness within the chaos.
Right. And it means, and I, as my fights go on, I felt that. First fight felt like an exposed nerve, like I couldn't even, didn't even know what was going on. And then by the end, last fight, you know, I'm not rushing out, because it felt like every fight I rush right out and try to get right straight to it. But now it's sitting back, you know. It's like, let's do this. Like, it's a little bit more calmer.
Okay, next fight is Chris Areola.
Chris Areola, that's one of my favorite fights, too. I mean, that was a tough guy. He was not 4th Street. He wasn't going away. Man, we were trading. I was hitting him as hard as I could, and he was throwing as hard as he could. I do remember in that fight, there was one time, I threw a kick and hit his knee, and I knew that set him off, and he threw a combo that connected.
You hit his knee, like, how bad? What do you, like?
Oh, man, it was.
Seemed like it fucked his knee up pretty good.
Man.
Because the knee shot, I've seen that a couple times in MMA. That can be ugly.
It's ugly. And you kind of know off of how hard they throw, if that makes sense. So, like, a lot of times you'll throw something and you don't really know if it hurt really that bad, and then they'll throw something and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that was the response, or that was the, because that'll happen, because I've done that before. And he actually hit me in that fight, because I had went for an oblique, a blind kick, and I never throw blind kicks, and this was like one of the only blind kicks in the fight, and he parried it and hit me with a right hand that literally, man, it was like my eye was facing the other way. Like, it felt like I had a hit. I was waiting for my eye to straighten up. I just kept blinking. Because after he hit me, I opened my eye, and like, my vision was like that. And I was like, oh. I started backing up. I don't think I just kept thinking in my head, like, oh, he doesn't notice. I was like, oh, this is bad. I started panicking a little bit. And every time I would blink, it would slowly straighten up.
Was that in the first round?
That was.
Because it was a second round KO. So this was in the second round.
Beginning of the second round, yeah.
Okay.
And I remember I hit him with a combo after that. And it was, dude, I mean, I wobbled him, hit him hard. It was a right-hand jab, hit him hard, and it threw a couple uppercuts. And I remember they kept saying 2-3. Corner kept saying 2-3, 2-3. And I just, it was like a video game. The corner said 2-3. I threw the 2-3. He blocked the 2, didn't see the 3, cracked him, like wobbled him. And all I do at practice is play around, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if we're, like, sparring and like, a guy, like, stumbles or we moves weird, I'll run and throw a flying knee. Not hit him with it, but just throw it up there. Always throw flying knees, even if we're grappling, you know. And so it's like I was setting these little things in my mind. If you see somebody do this, throw a knee, you know what I mean? So as soon as I see him wobble, it was instant. Ran up on him, hit him with a flying knee. The knee kind of fell short. It hit him kind of like in the upper chest, but still knocked him down.
Knees are crazy.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. It was like same thing. It was like his energy just disliked it. It was all of a sudden were like this, and then it was just like nothing. He just fell, went down, and I was on him, and I remember I'm hitting him, but I'm getting tired. And I'm remembering, like, man, I got to get him out of here. And I'm remembering to not conserve energy. Like, because if I'm this tired and we go to a second round, he might recover. It could be a different story. So I'm, like, doing everything, man. And we do a drill where ground and pound in the last 10 seconds. You know what I mean? Steal the round or whatever, the last 30 seconds. And that's just like the drill, man. Just like we're in practice. You hear the 10-second clap, do the drill.
It says you got to finish 2 minutes 57 seconds, so right before the end of the...
Right, the 10-second clap happened, and I remember thinking, like, I cannot go to, you know what I mean?
But what brought him to the ground was the knee, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Crumpled him.
Yeah, he was rocked, but the knee definitely knocked him, crumpled him. And if it would have landed straight to the head, it would have been, but it kind of landed, you know, in the chest.
Jeez,
area.
That sounds even, I mean, not more painful than the head. But yeah, but that could feel like that would be rough.
It was rough. Sergio hit me with a flying knee to the chest, and it hurt for, like, 3 weeks, dude. I couldn't, my right arm couldn't raise above a certain level.
Who was the guy I saw, some Cuban guy who did a knee to Dakota Williams for Hard Rock?
Yeah.
Cuban guy trains at 502.
Yes.
He got the white guy who's going against Dakota from Bowling Green. That knee was devastating.
Nasty.
Yeah. He's always throwing knees.
That dude's good. I think he's 170. Good.
Sounds right.
He can crack, man.
Yeah, that was...
Dude.
Because I had interviewed that Dakota guy. It's crazy for me to get to know people.
Yeah.
And then to be like, yeah, watching the... Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, they seem like a nice guy. Like, I feel like all shook up.
Right.
Because he looks... Man. He looks briefly like these guys are dying sometimes.
Yeah, for sure, dude. And a lot of times, you don't know if they can come back from certain things like that.
Yeah.
It's very imperative, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So continuing right along, your next fight was it against Gabe Ruth?
Yes, Gabe Ruth, man. Very good guy. He beat me, you know. Rear naked choke was his night. You know, I got nothing bad to say about him, you know. He's just won the belt, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
I think I saw that. I watched that fight.
He did, yeah. That was an interesting fight.
It was a great fight.
Went the distance against Omar Campbell.
Yes, Omar.
That was an interesting fight.
Great fight. Yeah.
That was. Omar, I mean, it was a good decision. Yeah. Gabe won, but Omar was not backing down.
No,
he wasn't hanging in there. That was a very good matchup.
Good matchup. Good way to see Gabe be durable.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably good for him to get that many rounds under his belt.
To get to go past the first, second round.
Sure, yeah, because I think that he had kind of not really done that.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's like his kickboxing maybe, but...
Maybe in kickboxing.
Yeah, man. He's a beast. Nothing bad to say about
him. Probably interesting to game plan against a guy like that.
Very interesting.
Because you're like, am I going to get head kicked?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
You got to be thinking.
You got to be thinking, like, I don't want my...
I know when I spar with people with crazy karate shit, and they're not going 100%. They're not trying to actually kill me.
Right.
But I'm still thinking, like, got to look out.
Right.
Yeah, I might accidentally get knocked down.
Yeah, just but them showing going, you is like...
Yes.
Yeah, man, I definitely was thinking that. I think he hit me with a head kick in there. It was just a weird fight, you know.
I believe that, yeah.
It was like I was off for sure. But no excuses. Definitely his night.
Good reps regardless.
Yes, good
reps. That's
what
an amateur career is for.
Yep, and I literally was happy that I got a loss early. So now we know when that going to ever happen again, you know. So
sure.
Same thing with the everything else.
With the kickboxing deal.
It's all building, yep.
Love it. You probably learned that in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You can't progress in wrestling.
Oh, man.
If you're going to be like, no, I'm Floyd Mayweather. I'm never going to lose.
Oh, man. I'm talking about.
You can't do it in wrestling.
You thinking, you show up to the tournament feeling good, thinking you're about to, man, you lose, and you got to wrestle back for fifth place, and no one cares, you know what I'm saying? Wrestling teaches so much adversity. Like, you lost. Your dreams are crushed, you know what I mean? No one cares. Like, they're on with the guy in the finals, and you still got to save the team points, wrestle back, get fifth. I mean, it's all character. You know, that's why I always recommend wrestling. It's builds character, adversity. You know what I mean? There's no – you're training, you're sleeping, you're doing school. That's it. There's no in between, man. It's and there's a way out. There's fighting. There's college. There's pro wrestling. You know, there's multiple things you can do. So it's not like it's...
Did you say pro wrestling?
Yeah. Pro wrestling. I'd be a pro wrestler.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Could you do shit like flip off the ropes and
Absolutely.
Shit?
Absolutely. I'll fly through the air, dude.
Can you do some flips?
Are
you accurate? You could learn how
I'm working on them.
You could, yeah.
I'm just too nervous. I do want to start doing backflips in the cage, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I do want to learn.
My buddy Jamel Muhammad, he was a all-state wrestler in Lexington, but he's a pro fighter. He hasn't fought in a few years, but he does a backflip every time he wins an MMA fight. Nice. But he told me that the way you do it is you get like some cushions,
right,
and then you just have to learn it the right way. If you got the athleticism, right, it's just a matter of doing it.
It's just a matter of doing it and getting used. I mean, we do a lot of acrobatics, I guess. I can do front, you know, like round dolls, front handspring, stuff like that. But like, it's a different animal when you, the team after practice and the team's all laughing and then in the cage, you know. It's
yeah,
like,
you don't want to fuck that one up.
Pull a Gaethje and land on your neck. You know what I mean?
No.
So, but yeah, man, I definitely would love to do backflips in the cage. That's just
in pro wrestling. If you get into that, you can get paid.
Dude, I'd do it. I mean, I love all that. I grew up on all that. You know, like I love that, man. I mean, I would absolutely. Absolutely. If I ever have an opportunity, I would. I mean, why not?
There's Ohio Valley here.
Be fun, man.
Yeah.
Be fun. Be like Rampage's son.
Damn.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Man, that was crazy.
That was kind of over. That was
a little bit too much.
Right.
Yeah, he got a little carried away.
Read the room.
Like, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
just, someone told him, what was the case? Someone told him, yeah, it's okay. You can go kick this guy's ass.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think he...
That guy really screwed him over.
Yeah, I don't know if he didn't understand how a wrestling show works or, like, he can't really.
Is he in prison now?
I think he did some time, but I think he's back out now. He was on his dad's stream. I had seen a clip or something somebody had said. But, yeah, man, that was – I have a love in my heart for all that, man, because those individuals who do this, like fighting, and it's a different type of person. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure, that makes sense.
It's somebody who doesn't quit or doesn't falter easy, you know, and I really, really respect that. I really admire that. Sure. So I'll definitely jump in there, dude.
You a big Rampage fan?
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
He's funny, man. He's hilarious. I mean, grew up watching him, dude.
Who's your favorite MMA fighter of all time? I know we got one more fight to go, but for a little sidetrack here, who's your favorite MMA fighter of all time?
Favorite, I know he's kind of hot right now, Gaethje.
Okay.
Man, I've always liked Gaethje.
Why do you like Gaethje?
I just like how he doesn't care. And that's one thing that we've been working on, because it's almost like to land good shots and to really get in there, you kind of got to throw caution to the wind. Not really, but you got to get in there. You know what I mean? You got to be willing to take one to land something big. And so
Gaethje comes from a wrestling background, but then he really focused on the striking.
And he doesn't, and like he does it, like what he does is what I imagine, what I'm working towards, like how he can get in there, throw shots, land big shots, and stay in there. He's not throwing shots back and out. You know what I mean? He's not throwing shots and shoot. He's throwing shots, staying in there, parrying, you know. And so I just love how he doesn't care. I love how, you know, he knocks dudes out. He hits hard.
God.
Dude.
That was just. Best win of his career.
That was crazy.
On the biggest stage in the history of ever.
History. Dude, cracked, hit this man, broke both his
orbitals.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that's a tough dude. And to see him, like, try to tell his brother on the low, like, hey, I can't. And his brother was like, nah, yeah, you got it. And that's when he sat on the stool and he was like, nah.
Yeah.
But he tried to say it quietly at first. But to see a guy like that do that, like, dude, he was broken, you know? And you know, not,
you can't blame him.
You can't
look
blame
at his
him.
Face.
Can't blame him. It's
That's
not his
not
fault.
Being a bitch, is it?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, that was a warrior. I mean, he would have literally, like, if there was nobody there and they kept going, he would have died. You know what I mean? So it's a warrior, man. I mean, definitely not a bitch. He's smart. Preserve his brain, you know. It's the only way the only thing to do. When you got good people in your corner. That was a crazy fight. I know both orbitals is not a fun time, dude.
No, that's the rest of your life you're talking about.
Oh, man.
You probably got, you know,
problems
wife
forever.
And kids, and you want to enjoy your grandkids and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. You can't. You got to be very, very careful with that kind of stuff.
Okay, so your next. Okay, actually, before we get to your most recent MMA fight, do you have a favorite all-time pro wrestler?
All-time pro wrestler? What was his name? Roddy
Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper.
Yes, man.
Okay.
The man, dude. I mean, really, all the Attitude Era.
Okay.
That whole, you know.
So, but Piper was before that.
He was before that. And then, because I kind of like was into Roddy and all them. And then the Attitude Era came through, like Stone Cold.
Okay.
Dude. I remember one of my favorite ones. There was a, you know how they go get taken out by the ambulance. So Stone Cold gets taken out and he's on, they got him like, he's tied down. And they're like, all right, Triple H is with him, just saved him or whatever. And he's like, yeah, we got you, man. They got the shots in the back of the, ambulance. He's like, yeah, you're good, man. We're good. And he's like, you better hope the old boy doesn't show up or whatever. And then they look, and it's the Undertaker's the driver. So then he goes off, dude, jumps on Stone Cold while he's tied down.
Undertaker starts beating him up,
picks him up, you know, just craziness. Like, I loved all that.
Absolute just chaos.
Man, when I was a kid watching that, you couldn't tell me it was fake. You know what I'm saying?
Till what age did you accept that it was fake? Do you still think it's real?
Oh, no. I know it's fake. One day I was with my grandfather, man, watching it, talking about it, you know, WrestleMania and this. And he's like, what? All right, 1 second. He goes out, and he's got, like, VS, like, tapes. Comes back in, puts on Tyson fights, dude. Ever since then, I could not look at it. I was done.
He showed you some Mike Tyson
fights. This is what I'm doing now. Okay. Yeah. Dude, I mean, when I first seen Tyson hit a dude to the body and then knock him out with an uppercut, I'm like, okay. So those little punches they doing in WWE really ain't. And he explained to me that it was fake because I literally thought it was real. Like, I'm like, no, he's bleeding. Like,
were you already wrestling?
Yes. Yeah. Doing those moves too.
Okay.
Trying to release. And then, you know, it just switched from.
I've talked to a few MMA fighters who say they started like middle school or high school wrestling because of WWE type stuff.
I literally thought, like, I went to North Haven Elementary when they had the guys from Jeff, which I ended up doing. Every high school goes to where they went to teach. But I remember they came, they started a wrestling program, and they said wrestling. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm about to jump off ropes and. You know what I mean? I'm thinking we're going to have ladders and chairs matches, but no, dude, it was totally different. But I loved it, you know?
Okay. All right, so your most recent MMA fight was against Zach Zimmerman.
Yes.
You were 5-1 headed into the fight. You were coming off your first loss of your MMA career. Tell me about the psychology of you preparing for this matchup.
Man, I knew that I wanted to win. You know what I mean? I knew that I was going to win.
Were you willing to win in a boring way if you had to? Would you wrestle fucked?
No.
No. Okay. No. You weren't going to do that.
No.
You wanted to win, but you wanted a stoppage.
Yeah, I wanted a stoppage. And I honestly wanted to knock him out, really. I wanted to, because I've never knocked anyone out, like, you know, hit him, dropped him cold. So I was wanting to knock him out. I call it bobbleheading. I want to bobblehead this guy. You know what I'm saying? Knock the head loose. But that's why I was throwing. So I came out, and we kind of watched his fights, and we knew, you know, like most guys, he came out, start with a leg kick. You know what I mean? Start with the leg kick, throw the head kick. So we knew he was coming with the kicks, and we just knew that we had to time him. And he kind of did the first round. He caught me with a head kick, and I don't think no one knows or no one kind of noticed it. It kind of rocked me a little bit. Like, it was weird because it skipped off, like, the corner top of my head.
That is interesting. Depending on where you get hit in the head, it may not look real extreme.
Right. Like, he threw a body, a leg kick, and then I kind of ducked to throw a right hand, and he threw the head kick, and it kind of skipped over. And I do remember being rocked for like a split second, and you can kind of tell because he takes me down in a weird takedown. He kind of just like slings me, and I fall because I'm like, oh, shit.
That's the type of stuff I was talking about.
Right.
Like, normally he wouldn't have
taken
you down right
at all.
There.
Like,
yeah, but he just kicked you in the head first.
Yeah, and then he kind of got me, and I fell to the ground. He took my back and everything, had me in bad position. It went away or whatever. It wasn't like I was fully rocked. It just kind of like what it felt like was like I was up on like an old TV, like blocked out vision. Just every like I was just kind of like that on a TV, and then someone turns on the static really bright. It's like that. It was kind of like that. And it kind of just kind of like did that for a while, and then he eased back. And then, but by the time he eased back, I'm sitting on the ground with him, like he's got my back.
And this was over the span of like half a second.
Dude, like a third of a, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a millisecond. Like, and when I'm there, he's got my back, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so mad right now. So I just start punching him, you know, trying to get him to get off my back, basically.
While he was on your back, you start punching
him. Man, punching him, because I knew he was trying to choke, but he did have the choke. He got it in, and I remember pushed it above my chin, and he tried to ride my back for a little, and they're like, punch, because we're in his cat's corner, and they're like, punch him, and he's punching me, which was rabbit punches, but it made me mad, so I'm starting punching him like this, because he had a body triangle, end up switching around, getting past the body triangle, started landing hammer fist on him, man, rocked him pretty good. I think that was pretty much the end of the first round. I beat him up in the guard a little bit, past the guard. That was the end. Or, yeah, and I actually took his back and was hammer fisting him. Ref was getting close. I was like, okay. But the round ended.
Okay.
So, second round, I knew that he was going to throw some kicks, and I wasn't trying to get kicked in the head again.
Sure.
So I come out right hand, but as I throw the right hand, he throws a leg kick. Man, shin right into the – I was limping. That out of the whole fight, that was the one, that leg kick. But I didn't really feel that first, and I still kind of connected, which kind of backed him up at an angle, and I just unloaded. And then he threw a kick, but I kind of ranged it where the kick came right here. And as soon as it was going back, I just followed him in, started throwing hands on him, got him against the cage. And I was hitting him, but it wasn't really hitting him too flush because he's a little bit taller than me and his arms were a little bit longer. So kind of glancing, but I'm still hitting him. End up taking him down, get full guard, hammer fisting him. He turns, gives me his back. I'm like, perfect. Take his neck. He taps. Perfect night, dude. It was exactly what I knew was going to happen.
Is a rear naked choke win just as satisfying as a TKO?
No, not necessarily. Submission wins are cool, but man, when they stop you from punching them, it's like you're a rocket, man. You shoot out, you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's just like the energy's insane, you know. And everybody who goes to the fights and has ever been to any fight ever knows that. Like
everybody in the room.
It's like we're all like our energies is like focused on the cage, and we definitely feel it when we're out there. I know I do. Like,
sure,
man, that's why I love whenever they cut the lights down. You can only see the first couple rows because when everybody's like looking at you, dude, it's kind of weird. But I'm usually too in tune to like. I know that if I'm ever noticing people looking at me, it's not gonna be a good fight. And the Gabe fight, I was noticing.
Interesting.
I'm like, because it was in Hard Rock, and he don't have the lights off.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking around.
And
I'm seeing like just straight. Sold windows to people sold, dude. Yeah. I'm like,
interesting.
Gosh.
Interesting. You mentioned earlier something about you'd already lost in a wrestling tournament, but you're competing again. No one's watching. Yep. You're trying to get fifth place.
Yep.
No
that
one's watching.
A lot.
But no one's watching.
Nope.
No one gives a shit.
Just you're one of your coaches, and you're on mat 5 in 30 minutes, but they're over there with the guys, you know what I'm saying, 1 and 2, and which you're over there too, but in the back of your head, and that Danny Struck at Jeffersonville Wrestling, and shout out, he literally drilled that in our heads. He's like, know when to be the guy and know when to help the guy. You know what I mean? If you know that you necessarily aren't going to make the tournament, or you got out of the tournament but your training partner's still in, put everything that you can do to help them out. You know what I mean? There's no one to take the back seat and no one to be the guy. And a lot of times I don't think guys know that, like, because especially on when they have to take the back seat because their ego's hurt or they don't want to do it anymore, or now they're mad or jealous, and it takes a bigger person to be able to be like, you know, I'm done. That was a good run for me this year, but my training partner's still in there. He's got it, so I'm going to do everything. He's not going to see any anxiety from me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that he's...
You're going to kind of be in his corner.
Be in his corner, help him out. To him, I'm just another coach. Like, he don't have to worry about nothing. You know?
But when you're competing for that match to try to get fifth place, nobody's watching.
Nobody.
That's a big difference between that versus what you described that you felt right before the Hard Rock fight.
Yep. Nobody's watching.
How big of a difference is that?
Oh, man.
All the eyeballs in the whole room.
In the whole room. Like, the whole room. Like, all the way back to the warehouse. Like, the whole room. And then... To go from no one watching, no one cares, to that, it's pretty awesome.
So if we now take it, the Hard Rock, and we say, let's imagine, or future fighting, whatever, the MMA scene that you've competed on for 7 fights now, do you think it'd be a big jump to go from that up to, like, the UFC in front of the whole world?
You know, I'm going to say this, and it probably might be counter, but... No.
I kind of was thinking maybe
I feel like
because
it's
enough people watching. You know that you're the center of the attention at that
moment. Think like if you have like 50 to 100 people, it's
that's enough.
The same as 16,000. Like
okay,
it's
that's
like
kind of what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm like when I get into the UFC, I'm going to be like, this is just like future fight. It's got Dana over there and there's money, a lot more money. You know what I mean? I feel like it's going to, and I've always thought that, like, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's the same. You're just
so this amateur career has, you know, served its purpose
in many ways. Yep. I mean, mentally, physically, you know, all that, man. It's that's why I love how they do it down in Kentucky, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, we do have pretty good volume. You have a chance to get on a bunch of shows if you
want. And it's close, you know, I'm saying, the region, but they're close. Something in the water down here, man. We had the champ Ali, you know.
Sure.
We got, you know, it's just something going on, man. I love it.
Hell yeah.
We got the horse racing.
Yep.
It's like, if you think about it, we're kind of born on degeneracy, if you think about
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The horse the, race and the, you know, the
mint juleps, the drinking.
Muhammad Ali.
People running across the porta pots,
yeah.
Doing drunken shit, people passing out in the infield.
Gambling, casino, yeah, you know what true. I mean? Like,
and then the cage fighting, cage that's kind fighting. Of a degenerate thing, for sure.
For sure, man. Like, I love it.
That's we're drawn to it. I certainly am.
Clearly, I certainly clearly. Am.
Yes.
I mean, that's my type of people, dude. I don't want to be, you know, too proper. Or I'm going to end up getting in trouble because I'm going to have to do something.
Sure, you know? Me too. All right, so now you're ready for your pro career.
Yep.
It's going to stay at 155 pounds.
Stay at 155.
You'll never go down to 145.
Depending. More than likely, yes.
Okay.
But probably not right away.
Okay.
Yep.
Your pro debut, I'll get to commentate that. That'll
nice.
Be Saturday, August 1st.
August 1st.
Shepherdsville, yeah. Kentucky for Hard Rock.
Yep.
5 minute rounds.
5 minute. 3 5 minutes.
5 minute rounds.
Elbows.
Elbows. Okay.
Man, been working on them.
Okay.
Love them. I've always thrown them though to the body in amateur fights, but.
Okay. What can you tell us about your opponent?
So yeah, they just told me today. His name is Cole. Let me see real quick. Cole. Yes. Let me see. Yeah, because he's a fighter. He seems like he's, you know, going to be a good fight, man. And I'm not. Yeah, Eric Cole. Eric Cole's his name.
Eric Cole MMA. Let's check him out. Yep. What do you know about it? His style or anything?
He looks like he's like got a karate
okay.
looking stance. But the fight that I saw, the guy was kind of landing on him. So I'm really – but he hasn't fought since 24.
Okay. His amateur record's 5-1. He's also making his pro debut.
Yes.
He's from Ashland, Kentucky. It says Marshall University. That's interesting. Does that mean he wrestled?
Yes. College
okay.
wrestler.
Okay.
Yep.
But a karate type stance. Interesting.
It's weird. But it doesn't seem like he's really, you know, eager to get to the ground. So
huh.
Very, very interesting. I love standing up. So, you know what I'm saying? If we can just agree to stand up, I'll be cool with that. But, of course, that ain't the game. But wrestling's cool. It just gets you tired a little too easy, which, you know, it is what it is. But I love the whole aspect. But standing up is definitely kind of more exciting. And so I kind of want to stay, you know, doing that more because wrestling, it's, you know, especially wrestling in the cage, man, it zaps your energy so
oh,
fast.
My God, I'm sure. Wrestling man. By itself zaps oh, your man. Energy. Even if you know there's nothing else, you're not going to get punched.
Man, it's something like I'm just thinking right now, that feeling like.
Which fight did you feel that the most? The Sergio one? Was that exhausting?
I'd say the Sergio one was pretty exhausting, but really none of the MMA fights have been exhausting like that. It's the kickboxing fight that was really exhausting.
Okay.
Because I wasn't training like I was training now. Man, that was...
Okay.
That's why I think the MMA fights, I don't get exhausted because I'm like, I'd never want to feel like that again.
Could you ever see yourself doing a boxing match?
For sure, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I started, you know, boxing first, like way back when I was younger.
Hence, you knew who Abdullah was.
Yep. Yep, and also my uncle, Larry Thunderfit Cureton, he's an old school kickboxer.
Okay.
I trained with him like when I was a kid. I lived with him, trained with him for a while. He's out of New Jersey. He actually fought in UFC 1 and 3 or 5, I think,
oh,
in
shit.
Buffalo.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, he fought Marco Ruas, and I can't remember who he fought in the first one. But
very cool.
Yeah, he lost both of them. He didn't know. He explained it to me. He said when the UFC guys came, they just said, hey, because they go to different areas and get the guys in the areas to fight. So, like, he was the guy, kickboxing guy in Jersey. So they came and said, you want to fight? And he said they gave him was 2 weeks' notice for grappling. Went in there, got heel hooked, ended up breaking his leg. Didn't know what to do, you know what I mean?
Damn, yeah. But,
and then the other fight, he was doing well, but he just got hit with headbutts.
Jeez.
Wasn't used to that. He was
sure.
Like, he was like, dude. Yeah. Which makes sense. He's not a ground guy, and he's not a
That's
grappler.
Cool as hell, though.
You know, he has but this
Is
guy,
he still alive?
Yes, he's a gangster, man. He's this guy's the toughest guy I've ever like.
Where he lives in New Jersey?
New Jersey,
still?
New York, like legit. When I was living with him, man, this guy didn't take nothing, man.
When did you live with him?
So it was 2000 and I want to say 13 and 14. Split
okay.
between them two, 3 months here, 4 months here.
Okay.
Stayed with him, man. It was a crash course. Like I'll tell you one story, dude. I swear. This one guy cuts us off one time, and we're in New York, but I think we were in Jersey. I think we were Jersey City because it was big, but it wasn't New York. But a guy cuts us off one time and throws the finger up. And so my uncle's like, okay, you know, all right. pulls the car like kind of close behind him. I'm just like 8 years old, chilling in the passenger seat. Dude was out of the car faster than I could blink.
Your uncle like, was.
Hit his seatbelt in the door at the same time out the car. I look up. He's already at the door talking to Buddy. What's up, man? And I see the guy saying something to him. And then all of a sudden, my uncle grabs him. Like starts trying to pull, dude. Starts trying to pull him out of the car, and I'm watching. I can see the back seat had a truck. I can see the whole. This dude, like when he hit him, like when he grabbed him, he lit all the way to that to the passenger side door. Like the dude was sitting damn near in the passenger side seat. Uncle's grabbing him. I see the dude reaching, trying to reach in the glove box or whatever. Oh, he's grabbing him. He hits the gas pedal, skirts off.
Sure,
I'm that's like, good. I'm in the. You're like, I'm 8 years old. I cracked the door and everything because I'm thinking like, do I help? Do I? He's like, nah, man, shut the door or whatever. But yeah, I mean, and I thought, and the guy spreads off and comes back and like twists around and comes back and he's like, yeah, what's up? What? And he just throws the finger and keeps going. But I'm like, oh, he about to shoot or something, you know?
Yeah,
crazy man. I mean,
I think New York's got crazy gun laws actually.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that may be
it was,
but people probably still do have them.
Yeah,
but I think if you get caught with any there, you're in a lot of trouble.
Bad. Yeah, if you got like 15 rounds, it's like five years around.
Yeah, something, and they count something them. Crazy yeah. like that. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's the toughest guy I know. I mean, for him to go into the UFC, especially that, before it was cool. the UFC, yeah, man, yeah. it was awesome. It's awesome, dude.
Larry. And also, your grandfather showed you the Mike Tyson.
Yep.
So, boxing. Would you ever do bare knuckle?
You know, I never like to say never because the world has a way of showing you when you say no to things. That, you know what I mean? So, I never
You're
like
not
to,
necessarily eager to get your face too fucked up.
No, I'm not trying That's to. Fair. I just, yeah, I feel like it hurts a lot.
Oh, it'll,
on
yeah.
your hands. Like, on you'll your break hands. Your hands a lot. Yeah, and, yeah. I would. I mean, if the price is right, they said $1 million or something crazy, yeah. But, you know, everybody would. But I don't know if I like that style, man. That's not my style. You got to be a dog the whole time. Like, and there's not, like, you know, there's no setups. It's just, you know what I mean? Straight throwing hands, like, in the pocket. So, I would. Definitely, but I don't know about anytime
Price has
soon.
To be right.
Yeah, yeah, you know, by anytime soon, man.
That makes sense. Nathan Maness is doing pretty good with it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was fortunate, man. I got to commentate his last fight in, like, 2020 for Hard Rock.
Nice.
He knocked out Kellen Van Camp, and then he got the call up to the UFC. Yeah. He won five fights in the UFC and then got cut. Yeah. Shit's crazy.
That is weird. I don't know why they do that.
5-2. He got whooped by Khabib's cousin,
yes,
Umar. He got dominated, but, I mean, he's still 5-2.
I don't get why they do that. They cut. I think it's the weight class. It's got to be.
Yeah, 125 is kind of a rough deal.
They don't like the lower weights. Those guys are exciting, though. I don't get it.
I think they're exciting. We got Tyler Stout fighting tomorrow.
Oh, he's a beast. He was at Two Brothers. He's a beast.
Okay, yeah.
I think he was kind of there a little bit after me. I didn't really see him much. I met him before. He's a cool guy. He's a beast, man.
He's got hands.
Hands.
And that's not that common for 125 to have that type of knockout power.
Man, he knocks guys out. Like, he does. Slays them out.
Yep.
It's just awesome.
What do you know about this card tomorrow? Anybody stand out to you? There's like nine local fighters on the card.
Is Will Davis?
Will Davis is fighting. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So I got a side caveat I wanted to say. So I don't know what the deal is with the 155ers right now.
Okay.
But nobody's wanting to fight for some reason.
Okay. That's your weight class.
Yeah, man, I've had two fights where guys backed out. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's frustrating to do all that work and for them to back up. So I know these guys got fights. I know these guys are already scheduled. But, like, Will Davis, Travis Hudson, some of the guys that Triumph 55ers, I can't remember their names. McCormick, there's a guy over there at 155. I mean, where's all these guys at?
McCormick's fighting tomorrow at 170.
170, that's okay. Yep. McCormick might not be 155. But you know what I'm saying? Like, where's all, like, I know Hudson and all them already had fights scheduled, but, man, we were looking for a fight, and it's like no one's around, you know? And it's frustrating because
sure.
I'm not, you know, a lot of guys probably get a fight turned down and be like, oh, shucks, I got a foe, you know, but they're really happy to go drink beer, whereas, man, that turned my whole world upside down because I'm not just doing this to play, you know what I mean?
Dude, even if you lose, you're doing this for progression.
Balls to the wall, dude. We're not playing around. We're not trying to. We're really setting this up. We got a blueprint. We're going to try to. You know what I mean? And it's like when you pull out of a fight and I've done all this stuff, I've gotten down here, and then no, none of the other 55ers who aren't even fighting soon want to fight. So it's like, dude, what?
So that happened to you with a 155 matchup where you got your weight down, you were ready.
Oh man, I got all the way there to weigh in. Didn't even know. Happy as hell, got a haircut.
Against Will Davis?
No, not Will Davis. I forgot his name. He didn't even come down to weigh ins. But then I think I don't want to talk out of hand because they might have had fights scheduled. You know what I'm saying? That's why Hard Rock maybe couldn't get him to do it. But man, because I know if I just know if someone was to miss a fight and they were to ask us, we would take it, if that makes sense. Like if that happened to someone and they asked, hey, we got a guy at 55, you think maybe you can do a catch weight at 60 or something just because of the.
Oh, okay.
I definitely would do it.
Okay. You know
what I'm saying? I don't understand why guys don't do that. I'm sitting there at the, dude, I was mad as hell sitting there looking at the whole, because you know how they do the weigh-ins. I'm looking at everybody and I'm like, is there no 55ers right here? You know what I'm saying? I started looking at everybody. Are you 50? You 50? You know what I mean? You start thinking everybody's 55, but it just blew my mind. I'm like,
what if you, my buddy Lance Lawrence, he made it to Dana White's Contender Series in, I forget what year it was, but regardless. Yes. So he gets there and he's like a 145er who walks around at, I don't want to speak out of turn on it, but not that much more than 145.
Right.
So he gets there and they offered him. The other guy came in like 11 pounds over, some crazy. Like the craziest thing anyone's ever
heard.
Was it
that Brazilian dude?
Not Brazilian. He was Bolivian.
Okay, Bolivian.
Yeah,
Bolivian.
South American.
That's what it was.
Kind of like what you're describing, Lance was like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But then the day of the fight,
he's way over.
That guy was like 22, 23 pounds heavier than Lance that day.
Right.
And then he pieced him up with the boxing.
Right.
And you know that in boxing, you know, sometimes weight can matter.
Absolutely.
Now,
especially
Lance could have won. He had taken his back. It looked like he was maybe close to choking him, even though he was losing. But what are your thoughts on if you get to that big stage and then someone comes in way over?
Yeah,
like Lance took the fight.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not saying he bitched out. He clearly didn't.
No.
He had a damn hematoma on his head.
Lance is tough.
He made it. He didn't get finished or anything.
He's a tough guy, man. That situation.
I guess hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
Maybe you would have accepted it too.
I think I would. I don't know if my coaches, because that would play a big part. They might say no, which in turn might say no, but I don't know.
But you've already made the trip there to Vegas.
We're
you
there.
Just met Dana White.
We're doing it. Yeah, so I'm following Lance. I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
100% because there's a chance you could win. You know what I'm saying?
And then what happens if you win? That's even double the.
Next thing you know, you're looking at Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just couldn't understand it, man. I wanted to go through and find all the 55ers and just have a group chat and be like, hey, is anybody, are you guys really, you know what I mean? And so that's why I wanted to come on here to say, like, are there any 55ers that want to fight, that are pro, that want to fight? You know what I mean? There has to be, you know?
Sure.
I know there is, and I know, you know, you don't, of course, there's a guy who's 15-0. Of course, they're not going to do that to an 0-0 guy. You know what I mean? They're not going to do the big gas, but I know there's fights to be made out there.
Sure.
I know there's maybe 1-0s.
Because that is interesting that Hard Rock had to bring in the guy from your opponent, Cole, is from where?
I don't know.
Let's see. You just learned about this guy today, right?
Yeah. I just got to the gym, and they were like, hey, you got a guy. And I'm like, oh, shit, hell yeah. Let's see.
You watched a little bit of his footage today?
Oh, yeah, I was watching it. Yeah,
you're like, interesting. Looks like a karate style with the wrestling, college wrestling.
But he got cracked right away, and...
With kind of the boxing?
The guy was putting it in. But the guy he's fighting is really pretty good. I think he's undefeated as a pro, so he's pretty good. But he was cracking him. But I don't know where he's from, man. It's just, and he only has one video on here.
Okay.
But
it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, I was going to research him way
would
more.
Would you have taken a 15-0 guy, like you said? I know that
a
promoter wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
this is a theoretical question.
Right. Yes.
If they're like, you're making, Donovan's making his pro debut, and then we got a 15-0 guy on the verge of going to the Contender Series, but he needs one more fight. Donovan, will you fight him?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you why. Well, there's a couple things that go into that, but once we looked at his record, because a lot of times guys who are 15-0, they'd be beating guys who are 0-3, 1-2, you know what I mean? Like, he's got his first 10 fights is all, and then he's got some couple 4-0 or 4-1s, and so it's like, oh, I think we can get him. He ain't never been put in adversity. And then you got guys like who are maybe 0-3, but all three fights they fought were guys who were undefeated who have champions in LFA. You know what I mean? So sure. It's like you never really know. But yes, a fight like that. Now, if we were to look at that and it was like 15-0 and
like this guy's on the fast track to the UFC champion.
Everybody he's beat has been like 16-0, 17-0, 15-0. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Maybe
it
not.
It doesn't make sense.
Not for a pro debut. Right.
Not when you don't have any pro fights.
Makes sense.
Now, if you got a pro fights, then shock the world, you know? It's all about just, I think it's all about being smart at first, and then you kind of plant the seed. You got to be real smart about where you, but once it starts growing, you know what I mean? You're good.
Sure.
But you don't want to plant the seed or take a fight or do something early on that messes you up on the back end. So makes you really want to, I know like Connor and all them will say, fight anybody, anywhere, all that. Yes, that's true, but there's something to be said about being smart about your decisions early on. Now, once it starts going, you can have fights, you know what I'm saying, big fights. But early on, you really want to be on top of it.
What's the, and this may be a dickhead question to ask, what's the part of your game that you need to work on the most? That's kind of a dickhead question to ask, because then if you're an opponent's listening.
Oh, no, they don't. Yeah, it's like they can know it all. Can they stop it?
Yeah. How do they implement a game plan against that?
I'd say, man, just... Man, because I honestly feel like there's nobody that can beat me but me. Only every time I've lost is because of me. Like, there's something I did. Like, there was nothing nobody else did. Now, of course, Gabe might have won the fight. He beat, like, physically, but I lost before that.
Sure, that makes sense, yeah.
So, when I'm on, I don't think there's nobody. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, what was the question again? Sorry, I lost.
Was if you had to pick a part of your game that you need to work on the most... You come from a wrestling background.
Yep. I'd say
it's a dickhead question to ask.
I'd say stand up then.
Stand up.
I'd say everything actually.
Everything.
Because it's a constant, you know, constant process. But yeah, probably stand up.
If Gaethje's your role model, or maybe not role model, but for the sake of
right.
for the sake of your MMA career, and you still want to get a finish like a knockout? Would you say a head? What was it?
A head bobble.
Head bobble. You want to get a true head bobble. Yeah, you haven't had that yet.
I haven't had a head bobble yet.
Okay, so maybe you're boxing.
Man, I, yes. Because I'll see absolutely that. And it's all about, I think, it just experience. Because that last fight, I was throwing, and I felt myself getting tired. Mm. And I knew that I needed to stop, but something in me was like, no, we got to get him. I think it's just taking that time.
You knew you needed to stop. What do you mean?
Like, I needed to stop and
kind of calm down,
pick the shots. Okay, maybe instead of just throwing at them, maybe throwing them kind of a little bit slower, but actually picking the shots, maybe pulling the hand down, you know what I'm saying? Kick the legs, doing things instead of just going balls to the wall where I had to shoot because I was tired.
Mm.
So I think really, okay, I guess my biggest part of my game would probably be when to do things.
Sure.
Like knowing when and when not to do things.
Okay.
Because I'll kind of get overzealous. I'll go right at them sometimes. Sometimes it's too much. I'll eat takedowns or shots that don't need to be happening if I just take a second and breathe.
Okay.
And I think that's like comes with fights, though.
Yeah. It feels like. No substitute. You can't study a lot. Right. And read and then
right. Go to sleep. And next thing you know, you're.
Yeah. Oh, I figured it out. Play Xbox or something. Yeah. That probably wouldn't work.
No.
Good deal. Well, Donovan, I appreciate you coming on the show. Before we start the process of wrapping things up, do you have any, I don't know, shout-outs to anybody you want to mention? You got any sponsors?
No sponsors yet.
Okay, that's all right.
But I do want to shout out my team, Bronx Hill, Brent Maddox, like I said, Ivan Chavo, Quentin Shirley, let me think of them, Sean, all of them, you know, over there, Dontel. Shout-out to all those guys, man. Those guys helped me out a lot. You know, just have major love for those guys. They really, really are going to be with me at the top.
You know? You got a good team.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. And I'll be there for your fight August 1st. So I'm really looking forward to your pro debut.
Man, be good to see you.
Yeah. 3 5-minute rounds.
Yep. Elbows.
Elbows, yep.
I'm going to look over and be like, hey. I'm gonna cut him
you
open,
plan
man.
On trying to use your wrestling if you got the, you know, the staple or the if you can get them down with the wrestling elbows can be a
man.
can be a deadly thing for a wrestler.
Right, and I know he's a wrestler, so we might fisticuff. You know what I mean? I'm down with that, or we might wrestle. I'm down with that too.
Ready for whatever.
It's like the snake chasing his tail. Who's going? You know what I mean?
And he might be throwing karate kicks.
He might be throwing karate kicks. We might be in there. You know what I'm saying? and I'll throw some Muay Thai.
Okay. I love it. Well, Donovan, thank you very much. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Of course, we will have another episode of the Kelly Patrick Show out soon. Thank you very much.
Nice.